Praise the Lord. I come in here this morning and I was going to, was looking through what I was going to talk about this morning. I want to try to continue what I left off with yesterday and then kind of take that progress along. And I was looking for an article from today that would kind of go along with computers, technology, where we're going, everything like that. It took me 5 seconds to find this one. Okay. Artificial intelligence could have prevented the German airplane crash. Dun, dun, dun. Right? I mean, here it is. This guy, they say he has depression. I'm sure he does. Okay? But we need to remember something in Ephesians chapter 2. The prince of the power of the air is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And again, if you are lost, you do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit in your life is not guided by every word of God is pure, then you have a spirit. You have a different spirit that leads you and guides you to do different things. And there is no doubt in my mind that a spirit, or maybe even a legion of them, was in control of that airplane the other day when it crashed. Does it serve a purpose? It serves this purpose right here. Because with every disaster, there is always somebody who has a solution to it. And already we're being conditioned. We think this is terrible. 150 people. We were reading the story about the pilot of that airplane is trying to hack that door down with an axe because he knows that that plane is going to crash and he's desperately trying to get in the cockpit of that plane to save those people's lives. And he fails. And all of those people died instantly. They're standing before their Creator. And that's a tragedy. So, we now have the technology. We have the solution to avert that sort of happening. 9/11 will never happen again. The German air disaster will never happen again. We will use artificial intelligence systems to take control of this plane. We will use, and I want you to get this, we will use an intelligence that is higher than ours. I want you to think about that. Because I'm trying to get you to the idea that man is making God. Not the one that you and I serve, but that man is making his own God. So Ray Kurzweil, he's the one that coined the phrase the singularity. And there's all kinds of things that go along with it. And I really don't have time to go into that. But the singularity idea is actually a religious concept that is shrouded in astrophysics and things like that. But it starts in Jewish mysticism. That's where the idea comes from. That's where the Big Bang came from. Because Jewish mysticism, the Kabbalah, came up with the Big Bang Theory before the astrophysicists came up with the Big Bang Theory. They're the ones that started it. And so science and religion are merging and have been merged for years. It's just not the religion of the Word of God. It's a different religion. So Ray Kurzweil asked the question, does God exist? Well, I would say, not yet. What did he mean by that? What he meant by that is that man is going to build God. And this God is going to rule over man. Is that in the Bible? Daniel chapter 3 verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold. This is man making God. Did that God that Nebuchadnezzar built, did that God speak? No. Did it move its arms? Could it reach down and save a plane load of people from disaster? Could that God do that? No, because that's the old way of making God. We're working on a new way of making a God that can save people's lives. Are you hearing that? Because that's what that story is about. It's about making an intelligent being that is smarter than humans that can take over and save people's lives. That's what a God does. We're making a God. Nebuchadnezzar made one. By the way, I love typology. I love the study of shadows and symbols in the Bible. And this one is loaded with it. You know how the Bible says that there shall come a falling away first and then that man of sin be revealed? What happened when Nebuchadnezzar built this image? He built it and he said, when the music starts, amen? When we start playing the rock music, everybody's going to fall. There's a falling takes place in the plain of Dura. Everybody's worshiping this image that's got sixes all over it. 60 cubits tall, 6 cubits wide. Dun, dun, dun. Amen? There's a shadow here. There's a type. There's a prophecy that is showing you. But you have three that have decided. They've got a shield of faith. They've got a helmet of salvation. They've got a sword of the Spirit. Their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And these three in the plain of Dura, they don't fall. They stand. Amen? And they said, we stand because we believe that our God will save us. But even if He doesn't, we're not bowing down to that thing. Did God save them? Absolutely. Amen. But Nebuchadnezzar built an image. Look at what the false prophet causes everybody to do in Revelation 13. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. Now I'm going to stop right here for a minute. And I said something yesterday that may have made some people upset. And I'm not going to apologize for saying it. I'm going to tell you why I said it. I said yesterday that Benny Hinn is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He is a false prophet. Amen. Do your research. Benny Hinn, out of his own mouth, claims that he was introduced to the Holy Spirit by Catherine Kuhlman. The problem was Catherine Kuhlman was already dead when he says she introduced him to the Holy Spirit. You know what that makes him? Necromancer. And he says that he goes to Catherine Kuhlman's grave and he receives her anointing from her grave. Bill Johnson is doing this out at Bethel Church, Redding, California. I call it the anti-Bethel Church. I pastor Bethel Church in Missouri. It's the opposite of us. They have developed a technique called grave sucking. They will send people out to the graves of past, who they call saints, who've had the anointing of God, and they will go there, touch their tombstones, whatever, or pray, and receive the leftover part of their anointing onto themselves. That is necromancy. God said, don't do that.
Amen.
God said, don't do it. That's one reason why I believe that Benny Hinn is a wolf in sheep's clothing. So I just wanted to explain why I believe what I believe. If you disagree with that, that's between you and the Lord. But I know what I believe. Amen? So watch this. The false prophet does miracles. And he deceives with those miracles. And he says he says to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Now remember where the image comes from. Comes from the imagination. Comes from the creative side. Man is going to create a beast. And he's going to do it in his image. An image which had the wound by a sword, didn't live. And in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26. We're looking at the opposite of what God has already done. God said, let us make man in our image. Man is made in the image of God. You believe that? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. After our likeness, so let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over a cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female, created He them. So that's what God did for us. God made us in His image. Now man is going to make a God in the image of himself. Let's ask the question, what is man? Man's heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Amen? I mean, even Joel Osteen says, this is my Bible. I am what it says I am. And it says, he is a reprobate sinner. His heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Amen.
Amen.
By the way, so is mine.
Amen.
So you know what you do? You say, okay, Mike Hoggard said this. What does God say? And then you open up your Bible and you ask God, God, what do you say about this? Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
So watch this. Exodus chapter 32 verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people get... By the way, there's a type of Jesus. Over in 2 Peter, Peter says there shall come in the last day saying, where is the promise of His coming? Why is He not here yet? Moses is delaying to come down. And so the people gathered themselves together. I'm going to talk about that maybe this afternoon. Gathered themselves together and Aaron has said, up, make us gods which shall go before us. They wanted a God that would lead them, watch this, not to the promised land. Where'd they want to go? Back to Egypt. Egypt is always a type of the wickedness of this world. And that's where the people wanted to go. And they knew Moses wouldn't take them there. So they said, we're going to have a replacement God that's going to take us back to Egypt. He's going to go before us. He's going to lead us. And we are doing that thing right now with electronics, with technology, with artificial intelligence systems. We want them to solve our problems for us. That's what a God does. And for 6,000 years, man has been calling upon a god, an idol, a statue, that's been a figment of his imagination that has never done anything for man. Man's going to change that. He's going to make himself a god. Jeremiah 16:20, shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods? And the answer is yes, man makes gods. Acts chapter 19, verse 26, moreover, you see and hear, that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods which are made with hands. How did our God come about? What is the origin of our God? There isn't one. Amen?
Amen.
Our God wasn't like us on a planet called Kobol. That's Mormon doctrine. And that is also some charismatic doctrine. They follow the teachings of Finnis Dake, Dake's Annotated Reference Bible. Dake teaches that God lives on a planet called heaven that is very similar to our planet.
Oh my gosh.
That's wicked.
Amen.
That's wicked, amen. That's false. So Paul's asking a question. Paul said that they are not gods which are made with hands. Man makes gods. So here's a book written in 1909. At about the height of the Industrial Revolution, man for the first time is seeing machines do man's work. Anybody here ever had their job replaced by a robot? Anybody? Not so much here. Down where I'm from, there was a lot of car factories down there. Chrysler, GM, Ford, they all had car factories down in St. Louis. And all these good union laborers were losing their jobs to robots who were doing a better job than what a man would do. And these guys lost their jobs. So this guy, Ian Foster, writes a book called The Machine Stops. And this is what he said in 1909. The machine feeds us and clothes us and houses us. They just came out the other day with a house that was printed by a 3D printer. It says it's going to revolutionize housing. It's going to make housing cheap and affordable. It will be cheap. Amen? But now we're telling our computers how to build our houses for us. And he said, through it, we speak to one another. Through the machine, through the machine, we speak to one another. Right? Yeah, breaker 1-9, breaker. That was old school, amen? Through it, we see one another. In it, we have our being. Who's on Facebook? Who's doing social media? Who is it that is posting every minute detail of their life, their activities, what they had for breakfast? In the machine. We are, there's a man here, I was talking to him out in the hallway. He said, I don't have a smartphone, I don't have a laptop, I don't have any... Of course, yeah, he don't have any of that stuff. He said, I guess I need to get with it. I said, don't, you're not missing anything. I've had a computer in front of me since 1982. I had a Commodore VIC-20. Remember those days? Okay, I had one of those, and I've had one ever since. And I'm telling you that we are putting our being in here. The machine is the friend of ideas and the enemy of superstition. Any wives' tale that you want to find out whether it's true or not, you go to the machine. The machine is omnipotent. You know what that means? All potent, all powerful. It is eternal. It is blessed. Blessed is the machine. He wrote this in 1909.
Wow.
And it's true right now. The machine is going to become our God. There is a TV show called Person of Interest. Anybody here watch that? This guy built the machine. That's what he calls it in the TV show. He calls it the machine. He built an artificial intelligence system that was designed to monitor every camera. And I mean every camera. Web cameras. I have a webcam on my laptop right here that can be activated without my knowledge. I'm not making this up. I went into my office at church on a Sunday morning and I had a Microsoft webcam there hooked up to my computer, and I was testing a new way to do my Pastor Michael Online show with a webcam. And I walked in my office that morning, I sat down, I looked at that webcam, and the light was blue, which means it was on. And I looked on my computer to see that there was no software running on my computer that had activated that webcam. And when I said out loud, "Why is that blue light on?" it went off right then and there. Not making that up. I don't know who it was. I don't know why they were doing it. But somebody had activated my camera in my office. And I said to myself, dun, dun, dun. Okay? But he designed an artificial intelligence system that monitors every microphone, every web camera, at every camera in the United States, looking for terrorist activity. Another group built a similar machine. And in the course of this show, you find out that it's two gods that are fighting it out. They refer to the machines as gods. And this, the good machine, wants to save people's lives. So they bring in Jim Caviezel. Do you know who Jim Caviezel played? Jesus Christ, the Savior. And Jim Caviezel, in this TV show, is a Savior. He goes out, the machine tells him who to go find, and he goes and he saves their life. Right in front of our eyes, people, we're building a God. A fellow, 1994, cultural theorist Paul Virilio said, all technologies converge toward the same spot. They all lead to a Deus ex machina. Deus is Latin for God. Ex means from. A God from the machine. Or a machine God. In a way, technologies have negated the transcendental God, which is the one you and I believe in order to invent the machine God. He said this in 1994. 1994, the internet was barely going. Look at where we are now, 20 years later from 1994. He was dead on. What spirit made him predict that? What spirit made him say that? The prince, the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a video game called Deus Ex. You know what it's about? The God machine that controls everything. There's a lot of video games that have that same idea, that same thing. This man, Kevin Kelly, did a TED Talk. He talked about the first 5,000 days of the web. And in the World Wide Web, when it first started making its footprints back around 1993, 94, by the time Windows 95 came out, Windows 95 was actually kind of designed to hack or get into the World Wide Web. So he says the first 5,000 days of the World Wide Web, at the beginning of it, people were saying it was going to do this and the World Wide Web was going to be this and so on. And he said 5,000 days after the beginning of the Internet age, we were all wrong about what we thought it was going to do. But he was going to try to predict where we were going for the next 5,000 days of the World Wide Web. I don't think you and I can even perceive of that, but this is what he said. He said there will be only one machine. He capitalizes the O. And he said the web will be its operating system. You know what an operating system is? It's Windows, it's Mac, it's Linux. Those are computer commands that control how everything is done on the computer. And he said there will be one operating system. It'll be the World Wide Web. All screens everywhere in the world we'll look into the one. No bits, no piece of technological information will exist outside of the web. Have you ever heard of the phrase, the Internet of Things? You ever heard of that? You know what that is? Right now, your phone is transmitting data without your knowledge, but it is with, this is an iPhone with your consent.
It's an iPhone 6 Plus.
Okay? It is transmitting data right now about where this phone is.
Wow.
Where this phone is. What it's hearing. I got rid of the Facebook app on my Android phone. I started looking at the permissions that the Facebook app wanted from me. It wanted permission to look at my text messages, to read my emails, to listen to my voice, and I went off. That's the Internet of Things. I have in my home, I have a thermostat that I can control with my phone. My thermostat is constantly in contact with the World Wide Web. There's more information now being sent across the Internet from machines and devices than there is from humans. So everything in this world is going to be connected to the One. If you think that you can build a bunker, hide in it until the Lord comes back, you're wrong. You know why you're wrong? God only has one way of saving His people.
Amen.
It's called the cross.
Amen?
No bits will live outside the web. To share is to gain. Let the One read it. The One is us. We are the One. You know what he's saying here? Yes, there will be a machine deity. It'll be comprised of every piece of technology in the world. And at some point, we and the web will be one. And there'll be no fighting it. You know why? Most people are being conditioned right now to want it.
Amen.
Okay? Most of them are. There was a movie that came out called Transcendence. You've got to watch this movie. It's about this guy who ends up being a god in the computer. And he's given a seminar, and a young man asks him and says, "So you want to create a god, your own god?" And the main guy says, "Isn't that what man has always done?" Technically, he's right. Man has always created his own God. But now, in the 21st century, we're going to create a God that can do things that nobody has ever fathomed before. So he says, Revelation 13:15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. What is life? It is sentience. When God took man, made him out of the dust of the earth, he did something with man that he didn't do with the dogs and the cats and the goldfish. All right? And the walleyes. Man became a living what?
Soul.
The life that this image is going to have is going to be real life. This image will have the ability to think on its own and decide what it wants versus what everybody else wants. So much so, the scripture, and I believe the Bible before I believe anything.
Amen.
The Bible says that this image will cause everyone who has not taken the mark to be killed. Everyone who does not worship the image must die. And that command doesn't come from the false prophet. Doesn't come from the Illuminati. It comes from the God that they build. Independently think. And by the way, he'll have the ability to speak. Now, I go all the way back to the old days. I go back to, in fact, let me read this verse here. In Psalm 135:15, the Bible says, "The idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not." Think of going into a Catholic church and seeing a Virgin Mary going, and it never moves. It never talks, doesn't walk. In fact, when they want the Virgin Mary to go to the other side of the room, they have to pick her up, carry her over there, even though she's got legs. says they have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them. I want you to get a hold of that. They that make the image are like the image. The old way, man makes a God that can't do anything. In the 21st century, in the singularity, man makes a God, and then he becomes like the God. Genesis 3:15, or Genesis 3, go read it. Okay? So anyway, you imagine that the God is listening and answering you back, but in reality, she's not. Is she?
No, she's not.
She's not. St. Joseph isn't. The statue of Jesus isn't. The statue of Buddha is not listening. He's not answering you back. And he's not going to grow your crops for you next year.
Amen.
That God won't.
Amen.
Now, as I said before, I'm old school. I go all the way back to the 80s with computers. And I had a program called SAM. Software something mouth.
Automatic
mouth. Okay. I used to have that software on my Commodore 64. It had 64 kilobits of memory. This thing was a monster. And I would put a floppy disk in that had 1.44 megabytes of storage on there. Couldn't believe it. But back then, if I typed, and I had to learn how to get my computer to talk, I had to type in a certain language structure, and I could teach my computer to repeat back to me in a way that I could kind of understand speech. Okay, you've heard, you know Dr. Stephen Hawking, right? The physicist, he's bound to a wheelchair, and he talks by way of moving eyes on a screen, and the screen picks up his eye movements and picks the words for him, and then there's that computerized talk. For now, the computers can only talk and say what we want them to say. In other words, we are the ones who are in charge of what the computers tell us. So I need you to understand that we're moving in a direction of the computer not just parroting our words, saying what we want it to say. The image that we build, the false prophet causes us to build that image, will be able to speak his own mind. Remember what I showed you yesterday? The dog that Google built, that when you kick the dog won't fall over. It'll set himself aright. And remember, I asked you the question, at what point will the Google dog turn and say, don't do that again? I am dead serious. At some point, that's what that God is going to do. Now, there is always a spiritual connection between technology and God. I'm going to show you this real fast, all right? MIT builds a robot called Atlas. Atlas was a god. And this robot picks up heavy objects. This robot does what man cannot do. That's a god. The Genie Lab, they're working on artificial intelligence. The word genie comes from the word genius. The word genius does not mean a really smart person. The word genius in Latin mythology was a divine being that had thoughts that were higher than man's thoughts. That's why we call somebody a genius. Okay? Inside every operating system, inside of every operating system, whether it's Windows, Linux, Unix, Mac, iOS, there are processes that are working behind the scenes. You never see them. They never show up on the screen, but they work day and night, nonstop. You're shaking your head. You know this, okay? In Windows, they're called, what are they called? Dynamic link libraries, things like that. But the current name for them is daemons. Demons. There are demons. There are pieces of code that are running in this iPhone right now that you will never see. But they're the ones that are responsible for everything that goes on this phone. They are hidden processes. They always work behind the scenes. They work away from the light of the countenance of the computer. That's what devils do, by the way. That's what demons do. There is a connection between the spiritual world and the technology world. Consider some of these companies, Oracle, Delphi, Sun. The Oracle of Delphi was the temple to Apollo, who was the god of prophecy. And when you went to the god of prophecy, there was a priestess who took your request and a gift, went into the oracle at Delphi, asked the god Apollo for the answer. The god Apollo would deliver it down to four women who were called the oracles. They spoke in an unknown language. The priestess would interpret it and then give the answer to the person who brought the gift. And we name our software and we name our companies after all of these gods. And it is all around us. There is a religious connection to this. Microsoft, take a look at their logo. See their colors. Red, green, yellow, blue. You know what they represent? Take your Bibles. Did you bring a Bible to a Bible prophecy concert? Ephesians. No, excuse me, Galatians. Here's a good study for you. I've been meaning to do it and I haven't done it yet. Here's be a good study for you to do. Earth, air, fire, and water. It's supposedly the four elements that make up the universe. Okay? You'll find it in witchcraft. You'll find it in paganism. You'll find it in Jewish mysticism. You'll find it in Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism. Every mystery religion will have a concept of the four elements. And the four elements, when they come together, then a fifth one rises out of the deep of it. That's the beast rising out of the sea is what it is. Okay? But the four elements are earth, air, fire, and water. Do a study of the book of Revelation. I've been meaning to do it. I haven't done it yet. But I have a sort of preliminary idea that God will use earth, air, fire, and water as His wrath and His judgment upon those who are living in the end days. Okay? But even the Apostle Paul called him in the book of Galatians in, what did I say, chapter 4? Look at verse 8. Howbeit then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. Before you were saved, you served gods. You may not even known it, but you were serving a god. So he said, but now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly, what? Elements, earth, air, fire, and water. Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Witchcraft uses the four elements, earth, air, fire, and water. Then look at verse 10. You observe days, let's count. You observe days, months, times, years. Four things. You observe these things. What do astrologists do? They observe times. What do witches do? They hold certain rituals on certain days of the year. And there's four major of these days. Spring and autumn equinox and the summer and winter solstice. They meet on those 4 days particular and perform their rituals. And I've seen video clips. I've talked about this in my stuff where you have Christian leaders who are telling people, let's face north, south, east, and west now and let's call in God. That's witchcraft. That's witchcraft. And it's moving inside the church. And Paul said the elements are weak and they're beggarly. And those who practice witchcraft, let me tell you, God has a better way for you. You want power? Jesus would give you all power. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the four Gospels beats your earth, air, fire, and water every day. And twice on Sundays. Amen.
Amen.
Okay? So the Microsoft logo is built upon the green is the earth, the yellow is the air, the blue is the water, and the red is the fire. That's Microsoft's logo. You see it here, Google, outside of Google's offices. Earth, air, fire, and water. Adobe, I don't have a picture of it here on the screen. Adobe's primary office has that same deal of earth, air, fire, and water as part of its logo in front of their building. Spiritual stuff. Look at here. They have a robot called Adam Z1. Where'd they get the name Adam from? God created Adam. We're going to create a different Adam. An Adam that is smarter than us, that can lift things bigger than us, that can do things that we cannot do. That's what a God is. Here is NASA unveils Valkyrie. Where did they get that name from? The Valkyrie were gods who in battle decided who lived and who died. They were gods. And that's what NASA is building. Project Titan. What are the Titans? There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. Do you believe that? Say amen.
Amen.
Project Titan. That's the Apple car. Apple's going to get into the car business, and they're going to make a car, and they're going to sell millions of them all over the world. Okay? By the way, does anybody know anything about Steve Jobs' religion? He was a New Ager to the core. He channeled, he meditated, he got deep inside himself and had visitations from little gods that were telling him what to do. I absolutely believe that.
Amen.
For him to be kicked out of Apple Corporation, what was it, 1985? In 1997, they brought him back in because the company was going down the toilet, and they called him back in, and he revolutionized this entire planet with the iPod, the iPhone, the Apple marketing system, the iPad. I have the iPad. I couldn't wait. I'm going, a computer right here. I mean, I'm part of that generation. I get it. And with every new piece of technology that comes out, I'm looking at it going, that would be really cool. The virtual reality headsets, I'm going, yeah, Hogman's got to have one of those. Yeah, that's going to be pretty cool. Listen, I get it. IBM builds a scalable computer chip inspired by the human brain. Well, that's not much to shoot for, amen? Elon Musk, he's a South African fella. He runs SpaceX that sends a dragon up to space. Go do your homework on that. Here's what he said. He said, with artificial intelligence, we are summoning the demon. He said, you know all those stories where there's a guy with the pentagram of the holy water, and it's like, yeah, he's sure he can control the demon? He said, it doesn't work out. You know what he's saying? It won't work out for us either. I've seen every movie with all the robots in it that turn out to be smarter than the humans, and the humans don't live very long. We are building a god. Robot brains catch human in 25 years and then speed right by. Emo Spark, first AI home console, that's going to be on the market. Google bought this company called DeepMind. It's an artificial intelligence system. Google wants to be able to figure you out so they can tell you, so they can send you the advertising. That's how Google makes their money. When Google gets to know every intimate detail about your life, about how you think, they analyze every scrap of data that you send them voluntarily. They know everything that you told the computer about yourself. They know it. And they take that information and they sell it to advertisers, and that's where they get their money. And so now they want an artificial intelligence system that can think better than any computer on the planet, that will even know what you want before you know you want it. That's a god. Amen? How much time do I have left? Seriously, how much time do I have? What time is it? 11, 12? I got 15 minutes. Let me show you how we got here. Okay? Let me show you. Do that. And get rid of that. And do that. Did I do it right? Here we go. I saw that the other day. NSA, the only part of government that actually listens. Let me show you what happened. 1997. Gary Kasparov, world famous chess player, beats everybody that plays him. He played IBM's Deep Blue computer, and Kasparov got it handed to him. He lost every game. The computer beat him. The computer had the ability to look thousands of moves into the future. That's what a god can do. Look into the future and decide what course to take, and it beat Kasparov every time. Kasparov got an idea. He got tired of being beaten by the computer. And he knew that the way his brain worked could not catch up with the way IBM's brain worked. So here's what he did. Kasparov challenged a guy, a chess master by the name of Topalov, another Russian. Kasparov had already beaten this guy 4-0. Topalov was an inferior chess player to Kasparov. Both of them used their intuition and a computer. They played one another, and they came to a 3-3 tie. All of a sudden now, Topalov gained an advantage that he never had before because he used a computer to aid his brain to beat Kasparov, and he'd never done it before. That was 1997, 1998. Who remembers Windows 98? I wouldn't touch it now with a 10-foot pole. Right? That was back then. Okay? That was back when computers ran at 500 megahertz. Now we judge their processor speed in gigahertz, thousands of times faster than what they had in 1998, 1999. They called it, and they still do, chess players still do this, Centaur chess. You know what a centaur is? Half human, half beast. Now watch this. They said that the computer is able to use what's called brute force. You ever heard that term before? Do you know what it means? You know what a brute is? It's a beast. It's an animal. Animals think one way and one way only. But animals aren't so good with intuition and feelings and maybe I can get around this another way. I can fool the computer. I can go around the computer's logic by doing something that computer would think illogical and fool the computer that way. And that's how sometimes they can beat the computer. Google search is a combination of logic and human intuition. Humans, intuition is a feminine trait. Computers have what's brute force, logical only. And so Kasparov is the first guy who decided that if we combine the processing power of the computer, brute force, a beast, with the feelings and the intuition and the gut feelings of humans, we could change the world. Okay? And they're doing it right this minute. Let me move to this. 1977, 78. Okay, I do watch Star Trek. Get over it. Okay? I don't go to conventions dressed up like a Klingon. Okay? Here's when Star Trek decided to reboot. They were going to do a new TV series, and Paramount didn't want that. What they decided to go on was a new movie. Okay? And the Star Trek phenomenon is still going on to this day. They've rebooted it again. And it has worldwide success. Everybody watches this thing. The first movie, Star Trek the Motion Picture, it was originally written as a pilot series called In Thy Image. And what they did was, we sent out the Voyager spacecraft. Remember that in the 70s? We sent it out to collect knowledge. Went outside of our solar system. The movie said that it ended up in some alien hands, and they took the original programming and enhanced it. And this Voyager machine now enhanced with throughout all the galaxies gathering information. But its sole objective was to return home to its creator, who was man, to deliver the information to its creator. And you find at the end of the show that Voyager, wants to become one with its creator, man. Science fiction? Not so much anymore. Ray Kurzweil. This is the story of the destiny of the human machine and civilization. A destiny we have come to refer to as the singularity. What does the singularity mean? It means becoming one with the God. Is that a far-fetched idea? Jeremiah 50 verse 5. They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Lord. What is it that you and I are waiting to hear? Trumpets. And when we hear trumpets, what's going to happen with us? And there we shall forever be with our Lord. Amen. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Wow. You look forward to that day? Say amen. So the idea of joining with God, that's what we believe. That's what we're waiting for. Amen? Ditch off this nasty body and being with our Savior for all of eternity. Oh, how sweet that is. Amen? For everything that God does, flip it upside down, turn it 180 degrees. That's the devil's plan. Okay? So watch this. 1 Corinthians 6:7. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We're going to join with the Lord. Now watch this. Numbers 25:3. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor. He joined himself unto Baal. Psalm 106:28, they joined themselves also unto Baal Peor. Remember, that which was is that which shall be. You're not just looking at a historical account. You're looking at Bible prophecy. This will take place. Man will join. Once he builds the God and the image has the ability to speak independently on its own and have a cause and cause certain people to be killed, man will want to join with this God because this God can make man a God himself. Does that make sense to everybody? Is that biblical? Genesis chapter 3. You're looking at it, Psalm 106:28, Numbers 25:3, Hosea 4:17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Wow. Daniel 2:43, and whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they, who are they? Let's look at it. First kingdom, second kingdom, third kingdom, fourth one. What is that reference in the Bible? Principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual, there you are right there, spirits. Spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the gods that are controlling human destiny right now, or they think. God's actually the one in charge. You believe that one? I don't think the devil does anything but what God says, go do that. And I have Bible to back it up. You remember when Ahab wanted to go out to war? And they had his 400 prophets tell him, oh, Ahab, yeah, go. He made two iron horns. I just did a series on that called The Horns of the Devil. Two iron horns. And he said, with these iron horns, you're going to push the enemies. And it was found out by Micaiah the prophet that God was up in heaven. And he said, who can I send to lie to Ahab? And one devil said, I will go and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. And God said, go. God even controls the bad angels.
Yes, he does.
They're not outside of his control. Don't let anybody tell you that. Amen? That's not true. God's in control always. God is bringing this thing about. Okay? So watch this. The fourth kingdom is not a kingdom of men. It is a kingdom of gods, beasts, evil angels, whatever you want to call them, whatever the Bible calls them, that's who they are. And I want you to notice, they don't just want to sit side by side with man. They want to mingle themselves into his DNA. His seed. Dun, dun, dun. There's your conspiracy theory right there. In fact, it's not a theory, it's a fact. This is where everything's going. Let's see how we got to this point very quickly. 1960. In 1960, when computers were bigger than this room, a guy writes a thesis and he essentially says that there will come a time when the computers who can do this way will need us. And there will come a time when we will need the computers. So the next step is to just merge the two. And I want to show you the process. Okay? You remember this thing. Creepy, isn't it? When it came out, late 90s, 2000, everybody said, that's the mark of the beast right there. Now, what I think this is the great, 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 great grandfather of the mark of the beast. Because this is 15-year-old technology. Nobody carries a bag phone around with them anymore. Who remembers bag phones? Nobody's got one. So the digital angel, their RFID chip being planted under the skin, that's old stuff. That's all long gone in the past. We're using it to chip our dogs and our cattle. And that's about it. But we are going to receive its, I don't know, 15th generation. And by the way, in computer years, that could be a matter of months. In computer years. You understand that, don't you? When I bought my first IBM computer in 1993, I asked a guy who was well into computers. I said, what should I get? He said, doesn't matter. I said, what do you mean it doesn't matter? He said, it's like a conveyor belt. No matter where you get on, you're behind.
Oh, that's right.
Okay? You got one of these old iPhone 6s. Golly. But here's what got my attention about the RFID chip called digital what? Think about it. Who named it this? A team of marketers or a spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience? Here's what was said of this company has already been bought out several times. Digital Angel, quote, will be a connection from yourself to the electronic world. It will be your guardian. That's a God. Your protector. That's a God. It will bring good things to you. That's a God. We will be a hybrid of electronic intelligence and our own soul. That was said 15 years ago with that technology, and it's already old. Everybody remembers Singular Wireless? Remember that? They don't exist anymore. AT&T had it, and then they sold out, and they've just pretty much done away with it. The first one of the first phones we had was a singular phone. Where did they get the word singular? From the singularity. And basically, it's us merging with the technology. Who in here has a smartphone? Raise your hand. Okay? Well, some of you really are independent, aren't you? They'll still find you. Amen? But that's what this is. It's us becoming singular with this. So watch the progress, okay? Now, Steve Jobs, and these phones here were dumb phones. And we know that because everybody was going, ah, this dumb phone! Or other things that you were saying to it. Of course, now when you say that stuff to the phone, you got to be careful because the phone will say, what did you say? I'm sorry. I cannot find that information for you. That's what who says? She. Notice these digital assistants on these phones are women. Mystery. Babylon. That could be changed. Steve Jobs comes out with the iPhone. Now we're in the smartphone revolution. Now, instead of us going, well, I had that on my computer. Wait till I get home in 40 minutes and I'll look it up for you. Now we just go, oh, yeah, it's right here. I got it in the cloud. I have it all right here. Okay? Then they come out with smartphones, Alienware, dun dun dun. Okay? Now, we're in the Google Glass era. Now we put on these things, these visors, like Geordi on Star Trek. And now we can see things. We can have information brought to us, brought right to our eyes on the lens here. But that Google Glass is already old school, and Google knows it. Because now they have the technology to beam the signal right into your retina. So you don't need the glass anymore. Where's it going to go from there? Oculus virtual reality coming out now. Samsung has already jumped the gun a little bit. And on some of the newer Samsung phones, you can buy a version of Oculus virtual reality headset, put their phone into it. You can have everything. You can live in your own little virtual reality world. The computer world is drawing one step closer to the humans. How Apple is invading our bodies. Here's what Tim Cook of Apple said. The Apple Watch is very personal. Personal and intimate were the words that Apple CEO Tim Cook and his colleagues used over and over again when presenting it to the public. That's where the watch is likely to change things because it does something that computers aren't generally supposed to do. It lives on your body. It perches on your wrist like one of Cinderella's helpful bluebirds. It gets closer than we're used to technology getting. It gets inside your personal bubble. We're used to technology being safely other. But the Apple Watch wants to snuggle up and become part of yourself. So then the Apple Watch is going to give way to the secret. This bracelet already being tested. They're already looking for investors where you wear a bracelet. The Bluetooth connects to your phone, which is where the processor is and the information is going to come from. And you can pull up the screen on your wrist in your right hand and do everything you would do on a computer right here. That right now is all on the outside of the skin. We're going to take the step and put it inside. Let me show you some of the technology. Israel's create DNA wire for computer of future. A wire made out of God's book. The ability for the electronic world, for this, what everything this represents, to be delivered right into your DNA, into your brain. You're shaking your head. You're not going to do it. I'm not going to go that far either. So what's the image of the beast going to do about that? Exactly. Generation Wi-Fi wants brains hooked into the internet. Okay? Cash in on the future. Kiplinger's magazine. This big business meets a futuristic robot that mimics humans. Researchers use DNA strands to create nanobot computer inside a living animal. Google wants you to live forever. Will holidays soon be uploaded to our minds? Yes. Did you see, what's that movie? Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he goes to Mars? Total Recall. Science fiction in the 90s. Science fact 5 years from now. The singularity's near. Rick Kurzweil's right. Once they make the bridge between here and here, mankind is sunk. You remember, I don't have it up before me. You remember the picture that I showed of all the fish swirling around all in one school? You ever seen those before? You ever see like fish? They all just get in a big circle together. And when one fish moves, every one of them move, right? Sheep are the same way. You can't get humans to do that to save their life. Yet. Think about what's going to change when they convert us to the hybrids. We'll be part of the collective. We'll be part of the hive. For sure. But God has reserved 7,000 who have not kissed Baal and who won't. That's you. Amen?